You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch, everybody. Welcome. Now, this is the place where you can learn about how to have healthy relationships, better self-esteem, happier lives, and work on yourself to feel better in general. And I always love to talk about things going on in your life, suggestions, ideas, things that can help you. This is the right place to be right now. Let me ask you something out there, folks. How do we stop running from our frustrations in life? How do we get away from these things? Depression, anxiety, messes other people make in our lives, supposedly. Other people. It's them, it's not me. All right? Well, listen, guys, my special guest today is going to help you with that. His name is Jeff Foster, and his latest book is called The Deepest Acceptance, A Radical Awakening in Ordinary Life. And it's a great book. It's a good read. And it's very insightful about living in the moment. And that's all I'm going to say for now, because I'm going to let Jeff tell you more about it. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Dr. Michelle's Couch.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. It's great to be here.
So, let's see. It's evening in England right now.
It is, and if I was in England, that would be great. I'm in Los Angeles, but it's nice to note that it's evening in England.
Are you doing a book tour here? I am so proud of you.
I move around.
Wow.
I'm in many different places at the same time.
That's how very, quantum of you to say
I'm very quantum.
Yes. Well, you know, what I really liked about your book is it does sort of give a different perspective on helping us have a little bit more joy in our lives and frees up our necessity to have a lot of drama and relationship problems and sort of get a clue as to how we can enjoy the moment, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I really say in the book is I talk a lot about seeking and how really everyone is looking for something.
Yes.
You know, whether we're looking for love or peace or joy, or we're looking for enlightenment. You know, we always seem to be looking for these things in the future.
Yeah.
You know, it's one day I will be at peace, or one day I'll be enlightened, or one day I'll lose the ego. I mean, there's many different versions of it.
Yes.
But wow. So really my invitation in the book is to turn towards the moment, to turn towards what's actually here, rather than waiting for peace, joy, love in the future.
Oh, that's great.
To turn towards what's already here and to begin to find those things that we were looking for actually in the moment.
Aha. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Jeff Foster. He's the author of the book, The Deepest Acceptance, Radical Awakening in Ordinary Life. And, you know, I would like you guys to call if you have any questions. That would be lovely. 323-203-0815, if you'd like to call. Or if you'd like to email me and you're a bit shy, you don't want your voice on the air, that's cool, too. You can do that at docdocmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. Jeff, you say that all of our problems probably arise from our ignorance of who we really are. So let me ask you, Jeff, who are we really?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, it's funny. Now, you go out into the street and you ask someone, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably reply with like a story about their past. So they'll say, I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever years of age. This is what I do for a living. Here's a story about my past successes, my failures, my relationships. And the question really is, who are you now? Often we'll reply to that question, who are you, with a story about who we were.
Right.
Yes. Who we will be. The real question is, who are you right now in this moment?
Yes.
Right now in this moment. Mm-hmm. So my invitation is to really, you know, instead of going into the memory of who you are, to begin to take a fresh look right now in the moment. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what is actually here where I am? So, and some people call this meditation.
Yes.
I call it noticing, looking.
Yes.
It's like looking afresh at the present moment.
Right.
Without prior assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we find in the present moment? We find, we stop and we take a moment. You know, we find thoughts, all kinds of sensations in the body.
Yes.
Maybe feelings. You know, there might be a feeling of excitement or a feeling of confusion or sadness or joy. And the way I talk about this, these are all the waves in the ocean of you.
Yes.
Who you are is like this vast ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use the word consciousness or awareness. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what word you use. Mm-hmm. Who you are is like this vast ocean, which is always present, in which all of these waves, thoughts, sensations, feelings are always coming and going. But the point is, who you truly are doesn't come and go.
Yes.
Who you truly are is always present, doesn't come and go beyond birth, beyond death. And that's really, I think, what we forget in our lives.
Yes, exactly.
We get so caught up in the story of our lives and in the drama, we end up forgetting this very profound truth of who we actually are. And that's what I would say, I say in the book, is that that's the beginning of all of our suffering, our anxiety, our depression, this losing of our roots.
Oh, actually. My goodness. I hear you.
Oh, my goodness.
No, that's true. I'm so sad now. I'm really depressed. Speaking about which, you know, in your book, The Deepest Acceptance, Jeff, you talk about, you know, how you went through a pretty deep depression in your 20s and that this led to a series of ever-deepening insights. And you sort of came to a conclusion that this experience of depression and sadness was your own deep resistance to life. Can you share a little bit more about your experience and what you mean by that?
Well, yeah. I mean, in hindsight, I would say my depression was actually my greatest teacher. And I guess I didn't know that at the time. At the time, it was hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what I came to see was, I was always at war with life. I think from when I was very young, you know, life was always a burden. I was always at war with myself, at war with my thoughts, my feelings. And it got worse and worse and worse until my mid-20s. And I had some kind of breakdown. You know, at the time it was terrible, and of course in hindsight it was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Yes.
I realized, because I started to realize actually how much I had been at war with life, how much I had been at war with myself, how much I'd been pushing away my feelings, not wanting to feel everything. And so I mean that depression, the breakdown, it sent me on a spiritual spiritual search. I started asking all these very profound questions, like, well, who am I, actually? The questions I've never asked before.
Yes,
very
yes.
important questions that yes. I think we all should be asking. Who
yes.
who am I?
Right.
And what is the meaning of life? And for a while I was looking for enlightenment. I thought that I would become enlightened one day and that would be the answer to all my problems. But at some point, I had this realization that actually all my suffering and my depression, it at the core of it was this very basic thing that I had been trying to escape the present moment.
Yes.
It was that was the basic mechanism, actually, at the very core of all of my suffering and my depression and my self-hatred.
Yes.
Was this running away from the present moment. Mm-hmm. This running away from life.
Yes.
Running away from life itself.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Why do we all have such deep resistance, do you suppose, Jeff?
Well, yeah, resistance is one of those funny words. You know, a lot of spiritual teachings do talk about, you know, how we're resisting the present moment and we should stop resisting the present moment. And so we try to stop resisting the present moment.
That's
but
right.
What we end up doing, I think, sometimes is resisting our resistance. So whenever we find ourselves resisting the present moment, we kind of punish ourselves, or we say, oh God, what's wrong with me? Why am I resisting the present moment? I shouldn't be resisting the present moment. So it becomes this funny, vicious circle of, you know, resisting resistance.
Yes.
And actually, so I think maybe a better way of talking about it, I don't think it's so much that anyone is actively resisting the present moment.
Right. Okay.
You know, I don't think anyone is actively resisting their sadness or their fear. It's not like sadness appears and then we think, okay, I'm going to resist it now.
Right.
It's probably more true to say that it's just that we don't know how to be with our sadness.
Yes.
It's more a question of not knowing, you know, not knowing how to sit with sadness, how to sit with our fear, how to be with our pain, simply because we've never been taught, really. We've never learned.
Yes.
I mean, who's ever really shown us how to be with our pain and not run away from it, and just for a moment to sit with sadness and not try to fix it or mend it or numb ourselves to it? I mean, who's ever taught us that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, certainly in my experience, I was never taught that by my parents, by my teachers, by friends. I mean, so much of my life, it was always about trying not to feel sad and trying not to feel angry and trying not to feel all these things.
Exactly.
And then people, you know, people who loved me, you know, when I was in pain, they would try and take the pain away.
Sure.
They would try and stop me feeling pain. So I learned over my life, shouldn't feel this, shouldn't feel this, shouldn't feel this.
Right.
And actually, I think that's what contributed in the end to my depression.
Sure.
You know, it reached, I mean, I was quite an extreme case. My depression was very extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got to the point I couldn't even get out of bed. As I say, again, in hindsight, you know, it's almost like life in its infinite intelligence had to take me on that journey.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
it had to, absolutely. It had to push me right to the edge.
Yeah.
To kind of wake me up. And I think sometimes, I mean, life, there's such an intelligence to it that we'll never quite understand. But true. For some reason in my own journey, I had to be pushed to the edge. And life was like, look at what you're doing to me.
Yes, it's true.
Stop.
Stop, life. I want to get off.
Yeah.
But I really don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I it's so funny because for me, it got to the point in my early 20s, I didn't want to live anymore.
Yes.
And actually, deep down, of course, I desperately wanted to live, but didn't know how.
Right.
It's not really that I wanted to die.
Right.
It's
right.
that I desperately wanted to live,
exactly.
desperately,
yes.
but didn't know how.
Exactly.
I think that's probably true for everyone. I think deep down, no one really wants off. You know, no one really wants to escape life. We actually long to live.
Yes.
We long to deeply embrace ourselves, but we don't know how. It's more a question of not knowing how. So, you know, in my book, I try and point people back to the how. And is it even a question of how?
Yeah.
Is it even a question of how to be with sadness, or is it actually the other way around? In a way, sadness, and this can sound quite strange, but I think sadness, fear, pain, all of these so-called negative waves, they already know how to be with us. Sadness knows how to appear.
Yes, it does.
It's quite intelligent. It knows it how to be here.
Yes.
But we think it's the other way around. We think we need to know how to be with sadness.
Yes.
Actually, in a way, sadness is very intelligent. It knows how to appear in us. And as I say in the book, it's like it's not so much that we have to try to allow sadness, or we have to try to accept sadness or pain or fear or whatever we're struggling with. It's more about noticing that wave of sadness or that wave of fear, it's already allowed in us because it's already here. What we are is big enough, is vast enough to hold that. There's already enough space in us for this sadness. Well, of course there is, because the sadness is here.
Right.
There's enough space in us, and I think that's what we forget.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we forget is our vastness, is how, as consciousness, how vast we are and how much we can hold. We can hold, of course we can hold the joy and the bliss, but we're actually so vast as consciousness that we can hold sadness, we can hold fear. It can all move in us, all of life. has a place in us.
And it's almost like it's a good thing almost to be like the observer. I mean, I recall, you know, about last year, a relative of mine passed. I was close to him, and it was very sad for me. But for some strange reason, I was feeling this and everyone around. But I went off on my own, and I said, feel it. Be it, feel it. And something came over me. It was like, it wasn't a voice. I promise, I don't have voices, Jeff. But it said, allow it. It said, this is rich. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. What? That was pretty sick. Enjoy it. But something about being human and enjoying the human experience of this is normal, and just let it happen and feel it. And it too shall pass. And it did.
Exactly. I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, that's really exactly what I'm talking about. You know, these waves, you know, these waves. All these waves can appear in us, waves of grief, you know, waves of sadness, waves of fear. But the point is, as the ocean, in a way, they're part of you. They're like your children. Right. A wave of grief, it's not an enemy of the ocean. A wave is not an enemy of you.
Exactly.
It's made of you. And so it just wants to move in you. However, you're right, however strange that might seem to outsiders, to other people. But if that's what's arising in you, then that's what needs to be loved. That's what needs to be accepted. That's what needs to be allowed to move. And then it's absolutely right, as you said, these waves, they arise, they can be very intense, but they do pass. That's the nature of these waves, is that they are impermanent.
Right.
Sometimes it seems as though, in the moment, it can seem as though this wave will never pass.
Yes.
And then so much suffering comes out of that, you know. We in the moment, we come to a mental conclusion that this wave will never pass.
Right.
And they always do somehow, but when they have to be allowed to, they just want to move.
Yeah,
exactly. A wave of grief, it's not there to attack you. Mm-hmm. It's not there because you're doing something wrong. It's not there because there's something wrong with you.
Yes, it's
there because it's, as the ocean, it's part of you. It's like it's one of your children. It just wants to be met.
Yes, I
love that word, you know, to meet, to really meet whatever arises in the moment. I think really that's the key to, you know, to true healing, to healing in the true sense of the word.
Yes, I agree with you, Jeff. Well said. You know, there are people who say, I can't feel. I have clients who've come in and said, I can't cry. And I think because they're so used to stopping themselves. So one of my suggestions is, I ask them what their saddest movie ever that they've seen is. And they tell me, usually, what movie moves you so much that you want to cry? And so I tell them to go out, get the movie, and sit and watch it alone or with someone who's cool that will cry with you. And just when those parts that touch your heart start making you sad, allow yourself to cry, to feel through that movie. Feel it. Watch it. Sit there for the movie, the entire film, and let the... Now, when you're crying at the protagonist's sorrow or whatever is going on in the film, start thinking of some of the things around your life that are going on that are making you sad. So you can incorporate, you know, the role. You know, oh my God, my body's crying. I'm crying right now. Start incorporating all those feelings to, oh, let's just let it go. And so sometimes, you know, you need a little, you need to prime the pump a little bit, you know what I'm saying, to get the tears rolling, you know, and really feel it, you know?
Well, it's true, and I think what you said is so true, you know, so there's this wave in us, like a wave of sadness, or it could be a wave of fear, or it could be a wave of joy, actually.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we do the same thing with joy. It's we block joy as much as we block sadness.
I'm not deserving.
I mean, simply because we've never really learned that it's safe. It's really safe to sit in the midst of those feelings. They're not your enemy.
Yes.
They're not there to destroy you. They're not there because you're doing something wrong. But we haven't learned that. So to sit with yourself, or to sit in someone's presence who is deeply allowing you.
Yes.
I mean, that's incredibly healing. You know, if we can't find that place ourselves, that place of deep okayness in the midst of sadness.
Right.
To sit with someone, whether it's a friend or a therapist, or you know, it could be a spiritual teacher, anyone who is able maybe because they found that place in themselves. They found that place in themselves where they are okay with sitting with their sadness. You know, and so that what that communicates to you is actually, oh, wow, that they are sitting with me in the midst of my... Maybe it's okay. That's incredibly healing.
Yeah.
That's just another human being is able to stay with me, even when I'm bawling with tears or I'm shaking with fear, that someone hasn't walked away.
Yes.
That's. I mean, in a way, it sounds so small, but I think it's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge to be able to stay both with ourselves or to stay with someone else in the midst of their pain.
Yes, I agree.
I would say that's what true healing really is. True healing. It's not actually about fixing ourselves. That's what I always used to think.
Yeah.
Was that's how I get healed, is I fix myself.
Right. Right.
But then
under
that is the assumption that I'm broken somehow.
Right, exactly.
So then the real question, and this is what I came to in my own journey, was actually, am I broken?
Yeah.
Was I ever broken? Was there ever something wrong with me?
Yes.
You know, so then when sadness arises in me, does that mean I'm broken? Or is that just sadness wanting to move? Mm-hmm. But when fear arises in me, does that mean there's something wrong with me? Or is that just a wave of fear trying to move in the vast ocean that I am?
Right.
So that's what profound. Also what I mean about, you know, remembering who you really are as this vast, ever-present ocean, you know, in which, of course, a huge wave of sadness can come. Mm-hmm. But as the ocean, you allow that. In a way, and this is, I guess this is getting a bit more philosophical or kind of technical, but, you know, in remembering yourself as that vastness, that ever-present open space, that capacity, I love that word, capacity. Mm-hmm. You are the capacity for sadness.
Yes.
In a way, you're breaking identification. You're as... I'm such a sad person, because that's a real judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we go into with the, I'm such a sad person. Why am I so sad? I shouldn't be so sad. Mm. And actually, you're not. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you're not a sad person. You are the capacity for sadness.
Right.
You're not a fearful person in the moment.
Yeah.
In the moment, you are the capacity for fear. It's a whole other way of seeing yourself, you know.
Yes,
it's a whole other way of seeing yourself.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about how we don't allow ourselves to feel and stuff like that. You're pretty much in keeping with a lot of, you know, the early, I guess you might say the psychological theories of the fact that we grow up in a situation. You were talking about your parents. And we have to shove down uncomfortable feelings because many times it makes others uncomfortable. So we have to learn how we should act. And then we grow up shoving down feelings, of course. And then that's our sort of survival. And that's a normal thing. And we shove all those feelings down into, as the psychologists in the psychodynamic realm say, into the subconscious. And, you know, and then sometime we need a lot of work as young adults to bring some of those subconscious feelings that we've shoved down up into the present. Now, how would you, you know, sort of address that theory?
Well, yeah, I mean, the way I talk about it, I try and talk about it in a kind of simple way that people can really, that anyone can really understand, you know. So going back to this ocean and wave metaphor, because I think it's a beautiful metaphor, really.
Yeah.
You know, if who you are is this vast ocean of consciousness, of beingness, of awareness. I mean, it's been called so many things over the years by so many philosophers and spiritual teachers. So this, what you are is this ocean. So remembering yourself as the ocean, recognizing yourself as the ocean, you are, as I said, you are the space, the capacity for all of these waves, thoughts, sensations, feelings. Now, as you said, you're right. You know, some of these waves, we've never really allowed them, in a sense, to come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But we've, you know, for whatever reason, maybe when we were children, we, you know, we felt anger, and someone else, maybe a parent, they weren't comfortable with our anger, so they somehow, you know, told us off, or they withdrew love, or, you know, so we came to learn that, oh, this wave, this is a bad wave, this wave is a bad wave, this fear wave is a bad wave, or, I mean, depending on your conditioning, it's a bad wave, it's an evil wave, maybe if you had religious conditioning, you know, it's an evil wave, or it's a negative wave, shouldn't feel it. So that really, that's our conditioning, you know, as we grow up, we learn about the way, which thoughts are okay and which thoughts are not okay to have, which feelings are okay to feel and which ones are not. Some of those waves, like sadness, they're pushed down, they're not allowed to arise in us. So they end up in a way seeming like dark kind of evil waves, not because they are inherently. This is what I would say. There's no such thing as an inherently bad wave or an evil wave or dark. We talk about light and dark. You know, a lot of spiritual teachings talk about light and dark.
Right.
I'd say there's nothing in us that is inherently dark.
Yes.
But in a way, it only seems dark. A part of ourselves only seems dark because we've pushed it out of the light.
Right, right.
What we are is the light.
Right.
And that poor little, I mean, to mix metaphors, that poor little wave, that wave of sadness or wave of fear or wave of doubt or wave of pain, it's not inherently dark or evil. Mm. It's just never been allowed into the light that we are. And we talk about enlightenment.
Right, right.
You know, and it's what I would say. I think that's a very word that's very misunderstood. And I know I was used to really misunderstand that word. I was used to think that enlightenment was some state, some future state, that one day I would become enlightened. And that's what life was all about, was trying to become enlightened one day. And I realize now that actually, this is what I would say, is actually what I was always looking for was actually who I really am as this light, and this is who you are, this is who we all are, this light, this ever-present light of consciousness, which illuminates everything, which illuminates thoughts, sensations, feelings.
Right, right.
So you know, awakening, this is what I talk about in the book, awakening is, it's really, it's two things in a way. It's, on one hand, recognizing yourself as this light, remembering who you are in every moment as this vast, ever-present ocean, but it's also, and this is the really important part, it's knowing yourself as that, then turning towards these waves that they just want to begin. These waves now start to begin to come up to the surface.
Right.
These waves that maybe you've never felt before, or you've never allowed yourself to feel before. You know, waves of pain or of sadness or of fear. Now there's the space. Now, because you're not pushing them away, because you're remembering who you are, now there's the space for these waves to begin their journey of, in a way, coming back to you.
Yeah.
You know, coming back to the surface. And at first, maybe because these waves have been pushed down for so long, that it's like they're afraid of you.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's a lovely way of saying it, you know.
Yes.
It's not actually that we're afraid of our anger or we're afraid of our fear. It's more like it's the other way around. This poor old wave of sadness, it's been afraid of me my whole life, because I never allowed it to come into the light.
Yes.
So now it's awakening. It's like making this commitment to allow, you know, whatever wants to come in, whatever wants to arise, even if it's uncomfortable at first.
Right.
Even if it's, oh God, who are you? I haven't met you before.
Yes.
You know, but ultimately, you're never going to meet anything in yourself that isn't a wave of you. It's, in a way, it's all you. It's not against you. It's not an enemy. It's not an alien.
Yes.
It's part of you. And
right.
And that's what I would say is the journey of awakening.
Right.
You know, it's meeting all these parts of yourself and knowing these parts of yourself as beloved children, rather than, you know, the present moment, it's a beloved friend, and whatever wants to arise in it, it's allowed to be here. It's a beloved friend. It's not an enemy to be destroyed or pushed away or cast into the darkness.
Yes.
Everything needs to be allowed to come into the light. To come into the light.
Yes, and you don't want to be a mess in front of everyone at work. So you have to do this work by yourself, folks. No, I'm kidding. Or near someone who's, you know, loving and comfortable and will allow you to do this. But truly allow feelings to come up, and I really get that, and I think that's beautiful. But, you know, I find with many clients, it's they are stuck in depression. They are stuck in low self-esteem and sadness and perhaps their past, actually, because they say, well, because of this, I am now this. But they're just almost drowning in their feelings so much that they can't move on. Like you talked about the waves, you know, coming and going. They almost are addicted to this sadness and this depression and all. How would you suggest, and I know you're cool about medication as well. I know you're not a pill pusher guy, but I know that you are accepting of possible any kind of SNRIs, SNR, that may, you know, help a little bit because you acknowledge the chemical imbalances that may take place. Mm-hmm. But how would you suggest on a, you know, action or thinking, you know, therapy that a lot of folks might get out of this immersion into I am depression and that's all I feel?
Well, yeah, I think it's so important, really. I mean, just to, you know, wherever you are, however you're feeling, just especially as a therapist, to really just respect where the client is at this very moment, you know. And I mean, we do this with ourselves, you know. We always think that we should be somewhere other than where we are in our journey. We think that we should be more advanced than we are. We should feel better by now. You know, that's such a these huge demands that we place on ourselves. You know, I should be feeling better by now. I should be feeling more happy by now. I should be feeling more peaceful by now. And actually, you know, the invitation is always to drop that whole way of thinking. I should be there by now. Actually, you're here wherever you are.
Right.
And even if right now in this moment the pain is very great, you know, even if right now that there's great sadness, you know, I mean, in a way, life only ever gives you a moment. You know, we only ever have to face a moment.
Right.
And this is something so many people that I work with, they and this is what used to happen to me, we forget that so quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a wave of sadness appears, for example.
Right.
And the mind automatically goes into some big story about past and future. Oh, it remembers yesterday's sadness.
Yes.
And then it goes forward to tomorrow's sadness and next week's sadness. And, oh God, you know, I'm going to be sad for the rest of my life. Or I'm never going to get to that point that I dream of where I'm not sad anymore, you know. So it all becomes this just rejection of this moment of sadness.
Yes.
You know, we're always comparing ourselves to where we think we should be on our journey, or we compare ourselves to someone else. You know, I think that goes to the root of so much of our suffering is comparison. You know, comparing this moment as it is, these thoughts, these sensations, these feelings, however intense they are in this moment, however uncomfortable they are, this is what's happening. This is what's happening in this moment. This is life.
Yes.
Life in this moment hasn't gone wrong.
This is
life. That's a huge thing to realize.
Right. This is it now.
Life in this moment is not going wrong. This, even though it might feel that way, you know, this is life. This is how you feel.
Yes.
And you know, the moment we start comparing this moment with our image of how this moment should be, I should be feeling better by now. I should be feeling less sadness by now.
Right,
I should
be
feeling less pain by now. That's what I would say, is that's the difference between pain and suffering.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a really important distinction to make.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's in the moment. All we're ever experiencing actually is a moment, this moment of pain. That's all life ever actually gives you. But it's this incredible illusion. So quickly, because it lives in the world of time. You know, in a way, a moment is out of time. It's timeless. But thought comes in and starts going into the story of the memory of pain, and then the projection of future pain. So now you're no longer just dealing with one moment of pain, which is manageable, which isn't overwhelming. It may be intense, but it's not overwhelming, a moment of pain.
Yeah.
Now you've moved into the story. It's like the epic. I like talking about it. It's like it becomes the epic story of me and my struggle with pain.
Right.
Because it goes into past and future, and that starts to make it seem so much more overwhelming than it actually is. You know, and I mean, I know this was my specialty years ago. Was my mind was, you know, it could travel in an instant from a moment of pain to a lifetime of pain.
Oh, you know, okay.
That's it's like Sure. Oh my God, this is, I'm going to experience this for the rest of my life.
Right, right, exactly.
And then maybe even the afterlife. I mean, that's how creative it is.
Well, I'll tell you, I've heard that a lot from people. I really have. Jeff, by the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Jeff Foster. He's the author of the new book, The Deepest Acceptance, Radical Awakening in Ordinary Life. And, you know, he went through a huge depression within him, his own life, and sort of had an awakening within himself while he was trying to, you know, understand why this was happening. And we're talking about that right now. And in a little bit, we're also going to talk about where you can pick up this book, because it really is profound. It incorporates a lot of enlightened teachings, but it's very real, and it's a very comfortable read as well. Jeff, we received an email here instantly from Brittany. She has a question for you regarding your theory. Is that okay if we answer it?
Oh, of course.
All right, let's shoot. It says, Jeff, you talk about how we go into our past, I see, which is not who we are. Is it okay for me to think about my past moments of wonderful times when I feel sad? I usually think of all the good times I've had when I'm feeling sadness, because it makes me feel better. That's a good question.
That's a great question. Well, I mean, of course it's okay. You know, of course it's okay to think about the past. You know, and that's part of life, and that's absolutely what can appear in this moment. You know, when we stop just for a moment and take a look at what's here. As I was saying, you know, in this moment, we find this incredible dance. You know, it's funny, we talk about the present moment as if it was some fixed thing.
Yes.
And actually, it's this very alive dance, this dance of sensation and feeling and thoughts and sounds. And so, of course, you know, what can also appear in this moment is memory. Memory, these images of what happened yesterday, what happened 5 years ago or 20 years ago, or I mean, thought is so creative. You know, we can even think about a million years ago, a billion years ago. We that image can arise, but it's always arising in this moment. So actually, I mean, this is what's so fascinating about life. We talk about the past, and we talk about what happened yesterday or what happened last week, but actually the past only ever appears as a present story, and present thoughts, present memories, and maybe some feelings coming up, but that's actually only ever happening in this presence, in the now. And the same thing with future. You know, where does future appear? It's funny, the past doesn't actually happen in the past. It happens now. It arises now. The future doesn't actually happen in the future. It arises now.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, of course, there couldn't be anything wrong with you know, imagining, remembering, going into the past. But I think what true healing is really about, true healing can never really come from the past. It can only come from this present moment embrace, you know. So if, of course, you know, when you're feeling sad, there's nothing wrong with thinking about something wonderful that happened in the past.
Yeah.
But I mean, so quickly, so easily, I've seen people do this. That can become just a way of moving away, turning our attention away from this present wave of sadness that just wants to be met.
Yes.
It's like, sadness, I'm not going to meet you right now. I'm going to think about the past. You know, I'm not going to meet you right now. I'm going to think about something wonderful in the past.
Yes.
So there's nothing wrong with that, of course. Mm. Of course, but maybe at some point, you know, what's the real invitation is to turn our attention towards what's trying to move in us without distracting ourselves with the past or future. Nothing wrong with that, of course.
Yes.
But it's interesting to look at how so easily, when some kind of discomfort arises in us, we distract ourselves with, you know, with either thought about the past, or as I say in my book, you know, we distract ourselves in so many ways. We could distract ourselves with a drink, you know, with a cigarette.
Right. You say that.
I talk about addiction in, you know, in the book in this way. It's in a way, you know, you could say we're all addicted, you know, on some level, even if we haven't been diagnosed with addiction, even if we don't call ourselves addicted.
Right.
On some level, to some extent, we're all distracting ourselves from present
right?
You know, uncomfortable feelings. And these uncomfortable feelings, they just want to be met. You know, these are our children as well.
Yes.
So it's almost like, you know, you get a knock on your front door and there's a lonely, hungry, cold child there, you know, and they in the moment they just want to be let in. They just want to come into the warmth.
Yes.
They just want to be allowed home.
Right.
And we say to them, oh sorry, I can't let you in right now. You know, I have to have a cigarette.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I can't let you in right now. Mm-hmm. I have to take a drink, or I have to, or I want to sit here and think about something wonderful that happened yesterday.
Yes, yes.
You know, again, there's nothing wrong with it, but you know, if we're not truly meeting that part of ourselves, it's going to come back and back and back and back and back and
that's
back.
Right.
You know, until it's truly allowed in.
Yes.
So I think life is, in the end, it's all about that allowing. That deep acceptance of whatever wants to arise in us.
Yes, yes. By the way, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Jeff Foster. He's author of the book, The Deepest Acceptance. It's a radical awakening in ordinary life. And it is very helpful to help you understand yourself, who you are in this life, and maybe work through some of those difficult times of living too much in the past or too much in the future. And I do want to talk about relationships, too, before we have to go. We do have another email, and I think you may have briefly answered this question, but shall we give it a shot? It's from Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
It says, hey, Jeff, my girlfriend of 2 years dumped me about a month ago. She says she is done. I'm a good person, and I was shocked. I'm still very hurt and don't know how to feel better. It seems the sadness part of me is here all the time, and I am very tired of it. How do I make it go away? Oh, dear.
Wow. Wow.
No. Oh. Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, we haven't got long to talk about this.
Yes.
It's a really beautiful question.
We've got some extra time. I've padded in, so we're good.
I mean, in the end, it's this is what happens in life. You know, this often what happens in life. We don't expect it. We don't want it. We wouldn't have chosen it. You know, things happen that we would never have dreamed of. And you know, exactly, you know, someone you love leaves you, or someone dies, you know, or you lose something you thought was yours. And yeah, great. These great waves of sadness, waves of grief can appear.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, yeah, it's what we've been talking about, really. It's not so much a question of making them go away, or, you know, finding the right answer. You know, so someone, I'll just say this quickly, someone sent me a beautiful email a few months ago, and he was saying how similar thing, you know, it was with someone he loved had died, actually, and it's a similar thing, whether it's a breakup of a relationship or it's a death, the same grief comes up. You know, because in a way it's in a way this might sound quite morbid, but all suffering has got something to do with death. You know, death of who I thought I was.
Sure.
Not actual physical death, but death of identity.
Right.
You know, when my girlfriend leaves me, or when my, you know, my father dies, who am I, actually? Who am I without you? Who am I without you? You know, without father, who is the son?
Right.
Without girlfriend, am I still boyfriend? I thought that's who I was.
That's your identity, yes, part of it.
So you, of course, so you're kind of meeting this void, this void. But it, I mean, yeah. If we have, I guess we haven't got long to talk about this. But in the end, it's all about meeting whatever wants to arise, even if it's painful, even if it's very intense. These waves of grief, and you're meeting them not with the intention of making them go away.
Right.
You're not trying to make them go. It's not. Right. Oh, I'm going to accept this wave and then it will disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because then that's not really acceptance.
Right, sure.
No, it's I mean, the invitation is just to be with whatever arises, even if in the moment you don't know how to be with it, you don't feel you have the strength to be with it.
Right.
Then
right.
What I would say is then be with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way, allow yourself in that moment. Allow yourself to not know what to do with
it. Yes.
Just for a moment, because we're only talking about a moment.
Yes.
Doesn't mean this is going to stick for the rest of your life, because that's what thought will do.
Right.
Thought will say, oh, I'll never get over this. This is going to be here forever.
Right.
This is going to stick. And then just to watch those thoughts as well. And in a way, allow those thoughts to come up. Yes. It's like this deep allowance of all the thoughts that want to come up, all mm-hmm. the feelings, the mm-hmm. sensations. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this one thing. Someone, I forgot who it was, someone said something so beautiful about grief. You know, because really this is what we're dealing with, yeah, whether it's the sure. end of a relationship mm-hmm. or someone you love dying or leaving you. It's yeah. We're dealing with grief. And
sure.
There's this lovely, lovely quote. I forgot who it was. I think it was Adyashanti, who's a spiritual teacher. He said, grief is the loss of the hope. Sorry, it's grief is the loss of the dream of a future that was never going to happen anyway.
Mm.
I think that was so beautiful.
That is,
you know,
beautiful.
When someone we love leaves us,
yes.
It what's being destroyed is our dream of the future that we were going to have together.
Yes.
But that's why I love that quote, because actually that future was never going to happen.
Right.
That was always your dream.
Right.
That was always your dream. And so life is inviting you, come, stop dreaming, come back to reality. This is life.
Right.
And actually, life hasn't gone wrong. This is life. Life hasn't gone wrong, although it feels like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Life can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this is life. These sensations, these feelings, this pain, mm-hmm. this might not match your dream of life,
yes.
of course.
Right, right.
But the invitation is always stop dreaming.
Right.
Stop dreaming. Come back to what's mm-hmm. here. Honor,
right.
honor, deeply
right.
honor
mm-hmm.
the life that is trying to move in you. So,
yes.
I mean, that's not really so much of an answer. It's not.
That's
not
a good
how.
Answer.
You know, it's not. That's not how to stop the pain.
No. But
it's really about how to meet the pain.
And
you know?
Yes, exactly. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, it's okay.
How do you meet the pain? And it's not to say, and I know you're not saying, don't plan your futures, don't work on getting an education, don't work on your book and plan your future for, you know, that. I know you're not saying that. And also what you say in your book, which I like, is to honor your partner's present moment experience. And, you know, have respect for that individual as well. And so that sort of does take you out of yourself a bit and yet have empathy for your ex-partner's present moment experience and what they need to do in their life. And it's sort of thinking about them rather than bringing in that ego, I, me. You know, it's just let them think about them too and their needs and bless them and love them. Although for a moment you may hate them. But,
exactly.
You know, exactly. So where can folks get your book and find out more about you, Jeff?
Well, the book is, I'm not sure if it's in bookstores at the moment. I know it's available on Amazon. And my publisher is Sounds True. So their website is soundstrue.com.
Yes.
So the book's available there. And I've also have a, there's an accompanying 6-CD audio set. Which is not, it's not, that's not me reading the book. It's actually it's a spontaneous sessions, just me talking about the themes in the book.
Very nice.
So that's also available. And my own website is lifewithoutacenter.com. All information about me and about the meetings that I hold around the world and the mm-hmm. and the retreats that I do and the private one-to-one sessions that I do. You can find everything there. So it's lifewithoutacenter.com.
Lovely. And if you just tuned in a little bit late, folks, you can replay the show later in the afternoon tomorrow. It will be available for you to download a replay. Shows are also available on iTunes and TalkTube applications as well. So all over the world, you can hear the interview with Jeff Foster. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been really wonderful. Thank you.
A good book, good job, and keep up the great work helping people, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. And
all
you
right.
too.
All righty. Take care now. Bye-bye. All right. This is Dr. Michelle with you. I hope you enjoyed today. A lot of difficult concepts, sort of difficult to try to work out how to be in the now. But I suggest you might check out his book because it will help you to get more into feeling the present, allowing your stuff to come up and feel. That means you're a real person. Wow. We all have feelings and needs and wants, and that's part of who we are. We shouldn't shove them down or hide from them and be afraid to express them. All right, as I always say, do take care of yourself first. That's the way it works. And then you'll be terrific and better for other people in your life. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. You can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye.